This morning's reading is from Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
And I love that poetry of that text, especially, which is put in there, I'm assuming to be a little cheeky, where it says, no one, not even fools, will be denied this promise of God, because I'm certainly a fool. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So 20 years ago, when I was in my 30s, I had a lot more energy, and I worked at the Bethel Park Library, and we all just happened to really click and get along really well. It was about 40 of us, and especially in the children's department, we were very close. And one of the things we loved to do after work, four or five nights a week, was karaoke. And we would go to different places, Duke Station and the trolley stop, and but sometimes we'd venture to the North Hills and sing anywhere that we could, especially me and my buddy Noreen. Noreen and I were very, very close, and we would often duet together. And it was wonderful, except that Noreen could really sing, and as you know, I really can't. Well, one night on the stage, the floor of the Rochester Inn, you know where that is? Yeah. Yet Noreen and I sang Barry Manilow's Can't Smile Without You, and we were booed off the stage and asked to leave. We weren't drinking. Everybody else was. We thought we'd get a pass. It was a great, great song. And the karaoke guy, DJ Eric, I remember him saying to us, ladies, that song, wrong place, wrong song, wrong time, all the time. And it was. We were singing the wrong song in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I wonder if there's been times in your life when you've ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, likewise, I've been in the right place at the right time, the most absolute right place. I remember about 5 years ago now, a resident at Fair Oaks asked if I would officiate at her grandson's wedding. Sure, where's the wedding? And I thought it would be in Upper St. Clair or Dormont or somewhere, because that's where she had lived in the South Hills before she moved to the assisted living. And she said, oh, it's in a little church. It's a beautiful little church. It's out in Shaler. And it's called the Valley, Glenshaw Valley. Do you know it?
And I said, I do. I've known it all my life. And I said, yes, and I did. And Clara was here during that rehearsal, and a relationship began with your sacred community. I was in the right place at the right time.
But the sermon title today, if you looked at it, it's The Wrong Place at the Right Time. And to me, that doesn't make sense when I thought about it first, because I thought, is there ever a right time to be in the wrong place? Like, is it ever a right time to be up at Fodi's Bar on Mount Royal? And I just said that for the bad joke, because they're actually really nice, because one time they let me use the restroom when I was out for a jog. So no shade on Fodi's. But this beautiful poetry in Isaiah, according to most biblical scholars, it is in the wrong place in our Bibles. Now, most biblical scholars understand that Isaiah is not one book written all at once, but it's two, and possibly even three books woven together with different voices speaking God's truth across changing times. So there are chapters written at one period before the exile, then during the exile, and then after they'd been able to return home. And the first 39 chapters, they call that Proto-Isaiah. These chapters focus on judgment and foreign invasion and what's coming. And the chapter right before this one is filled with warnings of destruction. But then here, you turn the page, you turn the chapter, Isaiah 35, and we read, "The wilderness and dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom. The waters will break forth in the wilderness. There'll be streams in the desert." It's like a melodious record scratch. Here's some joy. Here's God's love. Here's God's joy breaking through where it is least expected. Just like the imagery, a pool in sand, a spring of water in parched ground. And scholars, so maybe they have determined, yes, that this poetry here, this reminder of God's ancient promises for a glorious future, it's in the wrong place.
But yet it comes right at the time when the people needed it the most.
And the creators of the lectionary, they have put this text right in the right place for the right time on Joy Sunday. I know that many of us don't really believe in our hearts when we're singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." I know people who are carrying heavy, heavy loads right now. And indeed, the world is in a state. But yet here in Advent, here when we celebrate this Joy Sunday, we have a text that reminds us that God's joy can't be contained. It's going to burst forth in the strangest of places, and suddenly we have despair interrupted. Are you familiar with Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl? He has the book Man's Search for Meaning. And I have a young friend, and he just lives by this book. It's informed his whole way of looking at life. And I highly recommend reading it. But he wrote about his time in Auschwitz saying this. This is one experience he had. "One evening when we were already resting on the floor of our hut, dead tired with soup bowls in our hand, a fellow prisoner rushed in and asked us to run out to the grounds and see the wonderful sunset. Standing outside, we saw sinister clouds glowing in the west, and the whole sky alive with clouds of ever-changing shapes and colors, from steel blue to blood red. And the desolate gray mud huts provided a sharp contrast, while the puddles on the muddy ground reflected the glowing sky. And after minutes of moving silence, one prisoner said to another,
"How beautiful the world can be." Can you imagine that, being a prisoner at Auschwitz, being able to look up at the sky and still realize that God's beauty and God's joy have broken through the evil that people have done?
Now, the sunset didn't free them. It didn't keep many of them from being murdered, but it was a holy moment, and it kept Frankl going
and so many others. Despair interrupted.
And joy can be misunderstood, especially Joy Sunday, because sometimes we think joy fixes everything, that it ends the suffering, that the world is suddenly okay. But even the incarnation in the baby Jesus was not a cure-all. Indeed, Jesus, the child, came into the world in an occupied land. There was violence, there was fear. Herod was already looking to kill him. And the family fled almost immediately. Yes, joy had arrived in this beautiful child, Emmanuel. But the world was not yet healed. Indeed, we know it isn't today, with occupation and violence and fear still. But God's ancient promise of joy was manifested in the birth,
the incarnation, a vulnerable baby from a refugee family on the run. Out in the spring of 2023, my buddy Noreen, my singing partner, she was receiving hospice care for a cancer that it was not an easy time. And when I went to visit her, her husband would always leave the room because he knew that there would be singing as best we could. And we did sing. We sang every time that I got to be with her. And we laughed and we cried and we held hands. We sang "Can't Smile Without You" and nobody threw us out. And we felt each other's joy, and we felt God's sustaining joy. And she couldn't be cured. She died a couple of days after our last time together. But she was made whole in God's embrace. And it's just so telling of our God that God's joy, joy in a death camp, joy at a hospice bedside, joy in occupied Bethlehem, joy in countries ruled by tyrants. Joy still can bloom in the wrong place at the right time. Like water in a desert, like a sunset behind barbed wire. God's promise breaks through to say, "I am still here." That is the joy.